Where did you end up? You're in John.
I'm in Mark 1.
I'm in Romans 8.
Well, I'm going to go there.
Romans 8, verse 1.
I'm there.
Therefore, there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives us life has set us free, or set you free, from the law of sin and death. It's interesting, I'm supposed to share a story or a testimony.
I hope so.
How long do I have? Okay. Wow.
45 minutes. We can give you all a view.
Okay. I don't know if I have 45 minutes, but I might have 10 or 15 for sure. I had a problem last I think it was September, last September. I was checking out my boat, and I inherited the Blazer from the mission, okay? And the Blazer is a 2001. It's falling apart. Anyways, I put my boat in the water, and I had the mechanic who's drunk, okay? Like, he's like, you have to deal with people, eh? And he's an alcoholic hardcore. Anyways, so I got him into the boat safely, and we went out for a little thing to find out what was going on with my motor. And he said, "Oh, it's the alternator. There's something wrong here." You know, I said, "Okay." When we tried to pull my boat out of the water with the Blazer, and I couldn't do it. Okay, there's just not enough power to pull it out. So I unhooked the trailer in the water, okay, and had Charlie Cachon back in. And as he backed in, we hooked it up onto him, and he took off. I hopped into the Blazer. Now, the Blazer has bad brakes, as I found out. I hopped in it, and I'm following Charlie in. And so I put in drive, and it just shot. It didn't go forward. It went backwards. Okay, so I heard a click, and then do-do-do-do, and I went right back into the water. Okay, and I'm floating, and the whole thing turns. Okay, so it's in water, it's floating, and the mechanic says to me, "I can't swim." And he got out of the Blazer and was on top of the roof. Okay, and I was watching the water pour in, and it lifted me out, and I swam out. And I'm standing there, and I'm like up to here in water. Okay, if you can imagine this. He's up, dry as a bone, okay, on top of my roof of the Blazer. And I'm looking at him and saying, "Well, it's about 20 feet from the shore." And I'm saying, "Well, can you swim?" "I can't swim." And I said, "Well, I'm standing." "No, you're not. You're swimming." And I said, "I'm standing, honestly." And he said, "No." I said, "Well, if you don't believe me, jump on me." So he jumps on me. Okay? And I, you know, he's jumping up on, you know, up and down, and I walked him to the shore. And I had to find a ride and get hopped in the back of a pickup truck, soaking wet. You know, okay, so like you're just totally soaked. And I'm debriefing. Anyways, I go back, and Charlie steals my boat, and he's backing it into my where I park my boat. So I hop in with Charlie, and I said, "Charlie, we gotta go back and drag out my car." And he didn't know what I was talking about. So as we're going back to Rabiskin, we're going down the hill, and he says, "Where's your truck?" Like this, and I said, "It's in the water. You can't see it. It's submerged." Completely submerged. I believe in baptizing things, so complete submersion. Anyways, did you know Blazers don't run well underwater? You know, like it kicked and it stirred and it, you know, and finally died. But it ran for about 2 minutes underwater. Anyways, so I got the Blazer out. Okay, like we ended up hooking a chain on it. okay, on the front hook. And we had a problem a few years ago. We had a drowning. So people wouldn't let me go into the waters to hook the chain onto the thing. And I know how to swim. Believe it or not, I know how to swim. So I kind of enjoy swimming. But I like swimming, you know, on my terms, not on anyone else's terms. Anyway, so I go out there and I'm head deep and they throw me a little kid's life jacket. Okay, I can't put it on, and I have to try to get underneath and hook the chain on the little hooks. And so here I'm trying to hook, I can't reach it. So everybody's looking, don't let go of that life jacket. You know, they're yelling at me. I'm thinking, and I let it go and I hooked it up. Now, and then I pulled out the blazer. We ended up pulling it out, and as it pulled out the back, what do you call it? The tailgate, the lid, whatever you want to call it. You know, the hood. Well, it's a hatchback. It's like the little back thing opened up. You know, like in. And anyways, the alcoholic mechanic lost a couple bottles. Okay, and we're in the river, and they're floating down the river. So anyways, a couple weeks later, I'm listening to some people and say, yeah, Pastor Lance was out there with Kevin drinking away. Oh no, not a good testimony. But and speaking of testimonies, you know, I'm so happy that happened. You know, like I got rid of the blazer in one swoop. You know, and I ended up inheriting now. Now the mission actually bought a full-size pickup truck, a 2015 Dodge three-quarter ton. Four-wheel drive. So sometimes we wonder, God, this is terrible. You know, like how I'm going to do things, and all of a sudden, you know, like God opens up a door that I didn't see coming. You know, but I had to walk through it, and I didn't want to walk through it. You know, because like it's a lot of shame, a lot of humbling, a lot of wetness, and stuff, and it was really hard. You know, like it was hard for about 3 months. And we had a guy named Johnny Okama. Anybody hear of Johnny Okama? Okama Ministries? He's a native guy. And he came down on the winter road. This is all going to tie together. I'm just going to, I hope you don't mind.
I love it.
Okay. Johnny Okama comes down and he starts singing away and he starts praising God. And you know, and he started preaching, and he started preaching on the fact that they need to forgive. And I don't know if anybody has a problem with forgiveness. I know I don't. I'm a pastor. I never, you know. but anyways, a lot of my people have a problem with forgiving, especially the government. Okay, from what all the residential school and all the garbage what happened way back whenever. And it's kind of like if you don't forgive, it's going to be in your present, and it's going to affect your future, and it's just a mess. And Johnny Okama said, you know, what happened in residential school happened. We can't go back. We can't do anything. But I'm choosing to forgive the government and walk away from it. And see, I could say that over and over and over again for 5, 10 years. That you need to forgive. And you don't know what they did. And I'm thinking, well, I'm sorry that it happened, but you need to forgive. And very powerful message when it comes from one of their own who had went through it. You know, went through the sexual abuse and went through all the garbage that comes with the residential school. And it was hard. And you know, and when you start standing in Christ and there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, we can start feeling that freedom, that liberation that comes. So anyways, Johnny was there for about 3 days. And he was just, he was going good. And then Archie Benny from Lighthouse Church, you know Archie Benny? You heard of him? Okay. Anyways, he came down with another, with somebody else, and they did services at the same time when Johnny was there. And it was kind of crowded in my house. There was like 12 people, you know, and it's just like, it was really kind of tight. But anyways, I went out and I shot a moose. Believe it or not, I shot a moose. And we piled in into the truck, and some people were mad at me because I shot a moose. But that's okay, you know. But it was, I needed some meat, and I needed, anyways, it was a lot of fun. And then I the day I shot the moose, we were supposed to go down to Edmonton. So I had all this meat the night before, and I had to clean it up. So the people who I was traveling with took off early, and I was going to hop on with Johnny, and I went with Johnny. And as we were going down, we got down to Fort Simpson, and I hopped off with Johnny and hopped on with the pastor in Fort Simpson to come down to, I forget what, there was a conference in Banff? Yeah. So I was coming down there to pick up the truck because I found out I had a truck, and I was wondering what kind of truck I got. You know, like I said, oh no. Okay. Anyways, I hopped on with Jerry and Annette and hopped off and let Johnny took off a little bit earlier than us. And about halfway in between about halfway in between Fort Providence and Fort Simpson, about 100 miles out from either way. It's about 200 miles, and it's about right in the 100-mile mark. Johnny rear-ended a semi-truck. Yeah, he broke both of his legs, broke his jaw, and so we came up onto this crash site, and we were the first ones there. And it's humbling when you think, you know, I had a satellite phone, okay, but I didn't have it with me. And you can't use your cell phones because there's no like, we take things for granted, you know. And because I was in such a hurry, I forgot my. I'm there now. Okay. It's in my pocket, so I must have moved and it clicked. I'm sorry. But what happened was when we came up and we saw the vehicle and we said, oh, that looks like Johnny. That is Johnny. And I was thinking, wow, I was going to be in the front seat of that. And I think it's by the grace of God. But it was, he ran into the back of an oil truck, and he hit it probably doing the speed limit in a whiteout. He saw the two little things, and then he said, he nailed it pretty hard, and he was pinned in there for about 2 hours. And all we could do is pray. But you know, God works in these things. It's interesting because we started praying, and all of a sudden there was a oil rig people going back to work, and they had a nurse, believe it or not. So he had his own personal nurse, and 10 helicopters came to take him out. You know, like, so, and you start saying, well, you can see the hand of God in there, but you can definitely see how Satan wanted to knock him out and kill him. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and life abundantly. And a lot of times, we need to step into that. We need to step into those truths and believe them. Because they're hard to, you know, like, they're hard to fathom when you're standing there and you're totally helpless. You can't phone anyone. Anyways, the truck driver phoned his dispatch on his two-way. His dispatch phoned Yellowknife, which relayed a message to Providence, which relayed a message to Simpson, and they sent a trucks from Simpson and Providence, and it was right in the middle. Okay. And by the time they got there, the helicopters were about 10 minutes away, but it took about 2 hours. But during all this, Johnny's sitting there, and he's, and I'm pretty sure he had head injuries because he wasn't making sense. And I'm just praying, God, work a miracle in this. And the nurse said, we need to open up his door. His door was jammed shut, and his leg was caught up underneath. And so, like, there's two guys, like, I'm a pretty big guy. And I was just heaving on this thing, and there was another guy like me, and we're both heaving on this, and we couldn't get it open. You know, it was just horrible. But you know, and then when about an hour later, the truck came, the fire truck came, and they had the jaws of life, and they opened up the door. And it was lucky. It was really cold, because if it had been warm, his blood would have been pumping a little bit harder. And it would have been a different story. So it was a good thing. But he ended up breaking both legs. He was in the university hospital for, I think, 3 months. And then he got transferred to Slave Lake area. Wabiska. And he is... walking now, but using a walker, you know. But when I start thinking about it, I'm thinking, you know, when you're traveling, you never really realize how dangerous it is and how quick it can turn into something horrible. You know, it can really turn into something dreadful. And with John, he's walking now. He's doing services. Okay, and one of the most important things is he's telling people you need to forgive. And a lot of times that's a message that we all have. Anyway, so I come back down, I continue on from the accident. We saw the helicopters come and we loaded them on and saw them fly away. And we had, you know, had a time of debriefing. We went, you know, I stood outside for about 4 hours straight with no heavy coat or anything, you know, like, you know, me from the north, I, you know, minus 30, and, you know, it's okay, you know, but it gets cold after a couple hours. Anyways, we ended up getting to Peace River probably around 3 in the morning from there, and we just get a hotel room, get warm, and move from there. But I ended up going and picking up this truck. And I'm thinking, gee, I wish I had this truck when all this happened, because it would have been a lot nicer. But you know, a lot of times we look at things that happen in our lives, and Christ says there's now no more condemnation. And a lot of times we carry condemnation about things that have happened in our past, and it reaches up into our future. You know, and it can just cause heartache and destruction, you know, and destroy us. And Paul was quite aware of this, and he says there's now no more condemnation. If you're walking in condemnation, you're not walking with Christ. And when Jesus comes into your life, he comes to set you free. And a lot of the native people needed to hear that, you know, and they needed to hear it from someone who isn't white. They needed to hear it from another Aboriginal person, you know, that Christ sets you free from the things in our past, and the devil's mad at us and he wants to kill us. And that's the one thing that I know is he doesn't love us, he doesn't care for us. He wants to kill us. And Jesus came to set us free and give us life, and life abundantly. Now, I got this blazer. Well, I had this blazer. I got baptized it. I got into an accident. And now I'm in Peace River, and I'm heading down to pick up my truck. And I don't know what type of truck this is. Okay, for me, when someone gives you something, it's usually, oh, I can take this to the dump for you. Well, thank you very much. I don't laugh. This happens all the time. They can't throw things out. Okay, they moved a brand new house up there. And inside there was a beautiful TV. It was a 1970 big, huge monster that someone worshipped and praised, and then they got their flat screen, and they wouldn't give it to me. You know, like they wouldn't give me the flat screen. Well, we'll give them the old. And I just had the co-op manager put it in their truck and take it to the dump, you know, and say, well, bless you. You know, I thought it was just in Fort Good Hope that people do this. You know, they come and they want to donate something. Well, you want me to take it to the dump for you. You know, I don't know if you have, I hope you don't have that problem. No. But when Christ comes in and he sets us free, you know, and he wants to give us new things and good things. He doesn't want to give us old, used, I don't know, hand-me-downs. You know, you ever had hand-me-downs? Yeah, you know, like what Christ wants to do is give us good things, new things. And you could wear them for another week or so, but sometimes God wants. Anyways, when I got this pickup truck, I was just shocked, you know, because like here I am, I'm actually driving a brand new pickup truck, okay? And I guess the guy took the tires off and put on old tires because he couldn't justify giving me with the new tires. He just, something in him said, I can't do it. And he took off the old tires. So I was spinning all over the place. Anyways, it was funny. It was funny because Archie Benny took me to Cal Tire and he put on brand new tires for me. So I was going, woohoo, this is God, because I didn't have $2,000 to spend on tires, or I think it's about $2,000, $1,500, you know, for four tires, you know. So, but now I'm driving around this big truck and going, yeah, I can go down the winter road, all right, you know, and I can actually travel and not worry about getting stuck, you know. So, and I guess the first thing I did was end up pulling out some drunk out of the ditch. Seriously, we had a wedding, and everybody gets drunk, and I was coming back to Fort Good Hope, and somebody was coming to Norwell's to get some booze, I guess, and he spun out and went into the ditch. And I said, you guys aren't drunk. Oh, no, I'm not as drunk as you drunk I am. You know, so I pulled him out. And there was another vehicle behind him, and the guy was cutting wood. And I said, please keep an eye on these guys, make sure they get to where they're going. Because you don't want to leave them out in the bush. You have to get them, you know. He said, yeah, I'll follow them in. And that's a problem with a lot of people. They, you know, they don't understand that there's nothing in between. There's no stores, there's no shops, there's no houses, it's just one town here, and a bunch of bush, and nothing in between. And when Christ, you know, when you see something like that, you got to be Jesus' hands and pull them out. You know, there's now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You got to not put the condemnation on people. You know, Christ takes that for us. And when he takes it for us, he cleanses us and makes us free. You know, so they were shocked that I was in a truck and I pulled them off. You know, it was kind of fun, you know, because like they're looking at me and say, that's Pastor Lent. You know, because they were looking at me before when I had the blazer and I was swimming, you know. You know, and they're looking at me, you know, like, and I said, okay, but God's good. He is really good, and he does amazing things, you know. And once you step into that, you understand Christ wants to set us free and help us to do amazing things. That was one story. Is that okay? Or do you want to hear another one? I don't want to bore you guys. Okay. I went out and I picked up a 150 for my boat. We go from one community to another community. I had a 130. And the 130 it's a 2001. So, you know, like it's kind of old and it's dated, and I really use my boat to go from community to community, and you need something reliable. Okay. Anyways, I went out and I bought a 150 and put it on, and got it put on Honda. If you want to bet, this is my personal preference. I hope people don't want buy Honda. Okay. They start all the time. You know, like the police put their police boat into the water and they're pulling and pulling and pulling and, you know, won't start. And I back in and I just go. You know, it sat all winter long. I just go. And, it's, you know, so Honda, I'm a real Honda person. I hope somebody hears that. You know. Anyways, I got this motor and I took the old motor off and had the new and someone bought the old motor. Okay, big man, Thomas Manuel Jr. He bought the old 130, and I didn't know what was wrong with it, and I didn't, you know, I don't want to sell some something that is really worth nothing. You know, like if it's an anchor, it's an anchor. I don't want to sell them an anchor. He said, well, I'll give you $1,000 for it. I said, no. You know, give me $500, and if it works, give me another $500, okay? And so he's fingering around with it and working at it and stuff like this, and he noticed something. He says, I wonder. And he took the top off, and here the belt was broken on the top. Once those sort of things start happening, I don't want to, like, you're in the middle of nowhere, and you know, you can be stuck for, talking from experience, stuck somewhere for a day or two, or three, you know, and if you're stuck downriver, it's worse than being stuck upriver. At least upriver, you can drift home. Downriver, you have to paddle back up, and it's not fun. It really isn't. It's a lot of fun. My boat's pretty big, and I can hold about 12 people, you know, so it's a big boat. It's not a small little, you know, like car topper. It's, you know, 21 feet long, I give them to Thomas, and he finds this, that it's just the belt. So for $150 and $500, he got a new kicker that he could put on his boat, but I was happy. Because that forced me to get a new kicker for my boat, and now I feel safe. You know, and that's the main thing. And a lot of times, that's a good thing. Do I still have a couple more seconds? You sure? I don't. Yeah, I know. I'm just. Do you mind? Okay. I hope I if I'm boring you, tell me, please. How I minister. Well, one of the ministries, what I'm doing right now, is trying to fix up the church, you know, inside and out. I fixed up the outside, now I'm working on the inside. You know, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. You know, now I did it backwards. Jesus on the outside, working on the inside. You know, we're having a soup kitchen twice a month to reach out into the community. We also have a Bible study, prayer meeting night, and a praise night. And believe it or not, the church is growing. I'm just like, ho. There, someone took over this soup kitchen type thing, and she wants to do it she wanted to do it every week. I said, no, do it twice a month. That's enough. You know, so she's the best cook in town. And she makes soups and stuff like this, and she's really talented at this. So we call it soup and jam, okay? Because we have soup in the church, and then there's a couple of people who know how to play guitars and stuff, so they jam. So we're sitting there, and they're playing, you know, gospels, you know, what a day that will be, and what a friend we have in Jesus, and stuff like that, and we're eating soup, and, you know, having fellowship, and it's kind of an interesting outreach. You know, some new people come out to it, and it's just a lot of fun. You know, like, I never thought ministry could be fun. I always thought ministry was hard, and, you know, and Jesus wanted you to, you know, work hard at things, and this was a lot of fun. But, and it's very tasty, too. Like, she's a very good cook. Caribou soup was the best, you know. You know, and the moose head is coming, so, you know, we're working on things. Moose head soup. You never had moose head soup? It's funny when the eye's looking right at you. Anybody had moose head? It's good, yeah, especially the eye. You look at the eye, it's... You know. Yeah, the eye looks at you and, you know, give you the evil eye, you know, like the moose, you know. One of the things they have me do is on Sunday, I cook, okay? Believe it or not, I can cook. And judging by my size, you should say I can cook. Okay. Anyways, we on a Sunday after service, we usually have different things like soup or chicken or turkey or... I turned it off again? Okay. Turkey or you know, pizza, you know, traditional pizza, you know, make it myself, pizzeria, you know, flowing it up in the air and... you know, kind of thing, you know, and so usually people come and they don't want to hear me talk too long. They want to get into the house to get some food, you know. They want foodership. I mean fellowship, you know. Anyways, I start cooking moose head and stuff like that, and people, you know, get right into it. And then I make a chili, you know, like a really nice chili, you know, ground moose meat and a little bit of caribou and onions, and I hope, you know, I don't make it spicy, it just right. But when what I notice is that a lot of people come from the community, they hear, you know, hear that there's food and stuff, so they'll come out, and sometimes they bring something, like it's like a potluck. I don't know if you have potlucks, but you do. I chose not to do this because it's you know, like I cook once a week on a Sunday, so I just, you know, whatever you guys want to bring, go ahead, but it's not, you know, I want to make sure that everybody gets something. You know, I don't want anybody to be left out, and sometimes pizza runs short really quick, you know, so I have to cook three pizzas instead of two. But you know, God works a miracle in these things because people are looking forward to coming to church for fellowship, but they have to endure my preaching, which can be hard, you know, because I tell them, you got to repent, you got to forgive, you know, you got to come to Christ. And a lot of people say, well, no, I want to come to my higher power. Well, he's not a higher power. Jesus is all powerful. You know, and when he steps into your life, you got that inside you. So you got a source inside you that is all powerful, you know, and you can overcome things. Now there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for who has set you free. You know, that's the whole essence of the gospel. Christ came to set you free from that condemnation and guilt, and that's what they need to hear. They need to hear that there's something else besides just doing religious works. You know, it's something when Christ steps into your life, it's all of a sudden a walk. So that has been my year. Has it been fun? Yes. Okay.
I just got a couple quick questions for you.
Okay.
You said you went to different communities.
Mm-hmm.
With your boat.
Yes.
How many communities do you visit?
I go to Norman Wells, Toledo, Wrigley. I go up to, or down to, Sigachek, McClavik, and they're both, they're all on the Mackenzie River. I try to do that once a year. It's extremely expensive. By the way, speaking of expensive, did you guys know how much it costs for me to fly from Fort Good Hope to Yellowknife? To Yellowknife. $1,800. And to fly from Yellowknife to Edmonton is another $500. So $2,300 gets me here. That's a round trip. So when I look at prices and stuff like that, you know, and you guys do support me, and I want to thank you very much, you know, for your support that you've given me in the past and whenever. But I want to make sure that you understand that it's very expensive up there. When you go to the grocery store and you go and you buy your groceries, that could be exciting for some, you know. $23 for Tim Hortons coffee, hoo-hoo, you know, two kilo thing of sugar, you know, $13, $13. So, you know, like, and I have a couple other churches that support me too, but altogether it works out to being just enough, you know, because it's the most expensive place to be in the world, nearly. You know, like, I'm not too sure about Russia, but I don't want to swim over there. But when you go to the grocery store, I spend twice as much as what you would for less than what you get, if that makes sense. Because there's things that you can get I can never see, you know. And my vegetables aren't fresh. They're never fresh. They're frozen, you know. They come in a bag, and you cut them open. You pour them in water, and you just don't get fresh vegetables. Like we do get vegetables, but they're never fresh. You know, you wouldn't buy them. You know, so you know when I get support from here and other churches, I'm extremely happy because like that means I can eat. And it helps in the ministry because a lot of times what I do is I spend the money that I have and I buy the food for the Sunday night or Sunday afternoon. And so it's a ministry. I spend probably close to $300, $400 a month on just food and groceries for that one outreach, you know. And I can't really take it from the church because of heating costs and electrical and stuff like that. I can't. We get enough just to pay our bills, and that's it. None for me. It kind of sucks. I didn't mean to say that. please just turn it into Greek. And hey, did you know what? I met someone yesterday. The day before, 2 days ago. In Mark's Work Warehouse. Okay, he's a black guy, tall, skinny, about this tall. Came from where did he come from? Zambia? Yeah, Conrad Santa. You're walking in Mark's Work Warehouse, and I see Conrad Santa standing there, and I'm standing there. I'm saying, I don't believe I'm looking at Conrad. And he looks at me and says, are you Lance? you remember Conrad, eh? So it was kind of an interesting thing, you know, like I'm wondering where this guy is, and I haven't seen him for 20 years, maybe 20 years. And last time I heard, he was in Montreal, and here I'm in Millwood's Mark's Work Warehouse, and I'm looking, and here's this guy standing there looking at me, and he says, are you Lance? I just was amazed, and Conrad was an interesting guy because he came from Zambia, I think, or Zambia, I'm not too, or, yeah, I think so. Anyways, he flew to Britain, and the guy in Britain told him that, oh, you're going to Alberta, you're going to need a scarf and a mittens. Okay, and he gave him a scarf and a mittens. And he gets to Edmonton, And he sees people, because he came in January, and he sees people breathing. And he's, you know, everybody smokes. And then he realized, I smoke. You know. Anyways, we had a lot of fun with Conrad. But to see him, I hadn't seen him in 20 years. He's standing right there. I'm looking at him. That's Conrad Santa. He says, pardon me, are you Lance? And I couldn't believe it. It was just something wonderful. He has three kids now. And he's trying to make it back to Zambia. I think it's Zambia. I'm not too sure. It could be. But he's trying to go home for Christmas. So, but I had an interesting dog, and the people were looking at me and saying, why are you guys talking? So it's a lot of fun. But anyways, I did pretty good, Pastor. I'm looking at the clock, and it's getting lunchtime, and I hope you guys didn't mind me chewing if I chewed too long. Please forgive me. The Lord bless you. Yes, sir.